All right, so last week we started talking about God's vision for our lives, for our church. We saw that there were a few things that he wanted us to know, and he wanted us to have this house full. We're talking about full house mentality. Last week we learned from Luke chapter 14, 23, that God's vision for this house is that it be full. Now, let me clarify. When I say this house, you just point at yourself and say, this house. That's right. We're talking about us together as a church family, but individually, God wants your life full of these things. What's so cool is that when you and I know the vision that God has for us in life, he gives us direction to take the next steps. He gives us divine understanding to know when and why we should do things. We have the ability to focus on the outcome of his plans and his purposes without getting distracted by the problems and the trials. Knowing the vision for our lives gives us faith to pray for it. That's important. Prayer unlocks vision. And then bold faith to go and to possess the promises of his will. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we learn that the scripture says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Aren't you glad that we can have confidence in him? Because I can't have confidence in myself. I can't have confidence in my wife. It's just got to be in God. He gives us the confidence. Morgan came up here last week and shared with you a dream she had, and it was at her Poppy's house, and it had to do with this vineyard of grapes, beautiful grapes, but they were older and they were maturing, and it was like she was feeling this frustration that no one is harvesting the grapes, and that made her, in her heart and in her spirit, just very, why are these grapes going to waste? We saw that a harvest that is not harvested will die. Now, those grapes symbolize souls of our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors. Those are the grapes that God was sharing with her in her dream that we must go and get. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, the master said to his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. There's an element that you and I have to do. We have to see the harvest and go and compel them to come to Christ and to come to join a church family, because God wants a full house. Now, There are 13 things that I want to talk about, but not today. Hallelujah. Somebody just relax. You saw the clock and you're thinking, oh my goodness. All right, the 13 things that we're going to see that God wants for this house are these. God wants his house to be filled with prayer, with praise, with purity, with his presence, with promise, with proclamation, with purpose, with passion, with progress, with provisions, with Pentecost, with power, and oh, by the way, people. Hooray, go Jesus. Now, we also talked about the difference between message and methods, right? So God can give us a direction as a church, and sometimes he lets it be up to us how we go about doing that. We gave the example of our tithe and offering. The Bible says to bring our tithe and offering into the storehouse. Now, whether you do that through cash, check, eventually online, that's the method. As long as we're obeying the message and our methods are okay with Holy Spirit, we can progress and move forward in going towards the vision. With that being said, let me share with you some methods based on a message the Holy Spirit gave me that I want to see in our church family, okay? I'll be brief here. First off, our nursery. You know, it's no coincidence that when Jesus was calling Peter back into ministry after he denied him, that he said, feed my, what was the first thing he said though? Lambs, baby sheep. Yeah, Jesus wants us to feed the lambs and then feed the sheep and feed the sheep. here's what I want us to see eventually in our nursery ministry. We want to have a loving, caring nursery ministry. I was talking to Jeff, our amazing guitar player and worship leader today, and we were in the back standing in front of the toddler's nursery. And I'm like, Jeff, I would love to see a Wednesday night where you and I just come switch out, bring a guitar, and lead our nursery toddlers in worship. I'd love to see some media in the room to where we can stream the internet and let them watch some online praise and worship stuff, some hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord. If you don't know what that is, it's okay. I have a toddler. We're good. All right. The second ministry I want to talk to you about is our children. Children specifically ages 5 to 11. Here's what I really want, and I want you to be thinking about this. I have in my mind three or four married couples who will switch out every week to go with their kids. The way this will work is that everybody, our kids and adults, will come in here. We'll go through the Jesus worship. And one of the reasons we want the kids in here for our worship is in case something like what happened today happens. You know, Rebecca Workman taught me this. When we were in Sarasota, our kids would be in the nursery. And occasionally the Holy Spirit would just show up. And we're like, Rebecca was like, I want Luke to experience the presence of Jesus. And so she'd go get Luke and bring him into the adult service. That's why we want to have the kids in here for a time of worship. But then we want to release them to go to learn about Jesus in a way they comprehend. Now, I've got some really cool a resource that we're going to use that I'm going to equip these three and four married couples to go and to lead our kids for about 40 minutes or so each Sunday. It's going to be phenomenal. In January, I'm going to do some training if you're interested in that, okay? That's the second thing. Also, our Wednesday evenings, I don't have too much vision there because it's just happening. We're growing on our Wednesdays. If you don't know, we do have like a worship Bible study hour long or so time where we come. We have worship and we have a Bible study, and it's kind of like everybody just kind of shares when they feel led at that moment from the Scriptures. This Sunday, Pastor Mike Workman is going to be sharing and facilitating the conversation, so we're in for a treat. Did I say Thursday? Wednesday. Wednesday. All right, so that's the methods I want to talk to you about. Let's launch into the message. We're talking about three things today. Prayer. Do you know what the segue is? Praise and purity. You thought I forgot, didn't you? I did. All right. The first thing God wants his house to be filled with is prayer. This is powerful. Isaiah 56. Most of the time when you hear from the Old Testament, when it's a prophecy given, well, a lot of times it's for the nation of Israel or the surrounding kingdoms. But this in this particular verse, it's actually for us. Let's listen. Isaiah 56:7 says, "Even them I will bring to my mountain, my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called," can you say this with me? "A house of prayer for all nations." God in the Old Testament saw you and I sitting here today, thousands of years ago, saw us sitting here today. And he's talking about us. Matthew, we see Jesus, in the book of Matthew, we see Jesus using this same scriptural reference from the prophet Isaiah in declaring it for his time. Jesus went into the temple complex and drove out all those buying and selling in the temple. He overturned the money changers' tables and the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written," can you say this with me? "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of thieves." Listen, I know it's 78 degrees outside, but on the inside, you need to know in this church, we must be a prayer-conditioned church. Do you like that, prayer condition? That's good. We have to be in continual prayer-conditioned mode, all right? Over these, well, let me skip that. The second thing, and here's another little fun little quip for you. If you do Bible studies, you can have this one for free. In life, we have to be pre-prayered. Pre-prayered, prepared, pre-prayered. I'm a goss. The corny sense of humor comes naturally, okay? God wants us to be pre-prayered for our life. We have to know that prayers aren't always defensive prayers. oh, Jesus, heal me, I'm sick. That's okay. We have that authority. We have that right to pray when we're sick. But beforehand, we need to be pre-praying. God, we thank you that you're protecting us, teaching us proper hygiene, how to cover our mouths, Lord Jesus. Teach us how to help Addie not to share her germs with other kids. We got to pre-pray, y'all. Come on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen, we need to harness the full potential of prayer in our lives. It's like this illustration. Ready? If you were sick and you were to go to the doctor and the doctor were to look at you and diagnose you and say, listen, I have this little pill that if you'll take it, it's 100% effective. Here you go. You get it. And you're like, yes, I got the pill. Put it in your pocket and walk away and you never take it. You're not going to get better. You have to take that which was given to you and let it work through you because it works. Yes, it does. Amen. Okay. I'm hurrying because I know we got a lot to talk about. Here's a personal prayer challenge. I challenge each and every single one of you to do at least one of these things this week. Often. One, bless your food. Bless your food in public. Don't make a spectacle, but take a moment and bless your food. You know, since we've had our kid, we bless our food this way. You know, we pray, we fold our hands. And if you're not folding your hands, my little two-year-old say, Addie, or she'll say, Daddy, pray. And she'll make you fold your hands. Pray in public like that. Bless your food. The second challenge could be, if you're a parent, make time to pray in front of your children. Take it further. Pray with your children. Pray for your children. That's a nightly routine the Goss family has. Be the example, moms and dads, grandparents. Here's a good one. We're in the South. This is great. When someone's telling you how hard life is, when they're giving you a sob story, empathize with them, love on them, and change the atmosphere. I'm sorry to hear that. Can I pray with you? Change the atmosphere. The next challenge will be this. Set aside 10 minutes a day to converse with God. Speak to Him and listen. Pray to God. That's your prayer challenge. Bless your food. Pray in front of your kids. Change the atmosphere in a sob story situation. Or just pray 10 minutes a day. God's house needs to be filled with prayer. The second thing God wants His house to be filled with, and we rocked it this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is with praise. Somebody say yes. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with
praise.
Praise. Very good. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. The physician Luke in the Bible, he wrote the book of Luke. He wrote the book of Acts. Two different times I want to share with you an example of the early church, meaning after Jesus died and went to heaven, right? Luke chapter 24, verse 23 says this. They were continually in the temple complex praising God. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. Now here's what's so cool about praising Jesus. Praising Jesus doesn't have to be done with music. It doesn't have to be done in musical form. So you don't have to be at your day and you're like, Jesus, thank you for that sale. Thank you that I got the commission. You don't have to put it in song form, just verbally. Jesus, thank you. That I just praised God. I thanked Him. I praised Him. Thank you that you gave me wisdom of how to do this at my work or whatever. Amen. All right, we sing and praise God on Sundays, for one, because He's worth it, and two, because the Scripture says in Psalms 22 that God inhabits your praise. When you praise God, it's like you're building a chair, and He just comes and sits on it right there with you. That's a good story. Here's a better story. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. How many of you have heard of the story of King Jehoshaphat? Yeah, a few of us have. So let me share with you. In the Old Testament, you had a long line of divided kingdoms. There was Israel and there was Judah. Judah was kind of more of a God-fearing nation because Israel just went and worshiped idols. Well, there was this one good king named Jehoshaphat. This king honored God, he feared God, and he served him. Well, Jehoshaphat got word that there was an enemy, a vast number, who was coming up to fight. Now, in KJV terms, that means there's a whole lot of people coming to whoop your butt. So, he and the entire nation of Judah called a fast. They prayed. Y'all listen, even their animals fasted because they knew that they couldn't win this battle. So as they were seeking God, Jehoshaphat, I believe it's in verses 5 through 12, went through this elaborate prayer. It was a humble prayer, but you know what he did? He actually prayed the word. In Chronicles, that was a time when they studied the writings of Moses or the Pentateuch, right? So he studied the word and he prayed the word. Jehoshaphat reminded God of all the times that God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt and the land of Pharaoh. And Jehoshaphat was saying, God, if you did it then, I believe you can do it now. In verses 13 through 19, a prophet spoke up. And he said, basically, here's a paraphrase, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, here's where the praise comes into this. Verses 21 and 22, I'm going to read this. Then Jehoshaphat consulted with the people, and he appointed some to sing for the Lord and some to praise the splendor of his holiness. When they went out in front of the armed forces, they kept singing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. The moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush among the Ammonites, Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir who came to fight against Judah, and they were defeated. Because Jehoshaphat humbled himself, sought the Lord, God told him the remedy in that situation was to praise the Lord. And this literally happened. Enemies, armies, they destroyed themselves because the people of Judah praised their God. You can apply that to your life when there's situations you need help on, you can't get over. You seek the Lord and you praise Him. He will help you. For those of you who deal with anxiety, worry, depression, here's a powerful scripture verse you need. Isaiah 61:3 says this, and provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Listen, this became very real to me this week. I was dealing with some discouragement, and it was almost like I was picking up on somebody I was just with, because, you know, depression, it's kind of like germs. It just kind of spreads, and you have to guard against it. Praise is your antidote. It's your remedy for depression, okay? So you praise the Lord. He will give you that garment of praise to protect you from the germs of despair. I am married to a doctor. All right. The third thing that we want our house to be filled with is purity. Purity, purity. I love the scripture. It's in Psalm 24. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord or to the mountain of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He with clean hands and a pure heart, who lifts not his soul unto vanity. And it goes on from there. I love the fact that the scripture shares with us this word picture that the Lord is seated on a mountain. It's like he's in the heavenly mountains. And if we ascend to be in his presence, we need to come with clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands refers to innocence. Pure heart refers to integrity. Now, let's get all sports for a minute. I like sports. My sister has this really good quote on her Facebook wall from Coach Vince Lombardi. Have you ever heard of him? Men, if you haven't heard of Vince Lombardi, we need to talk. That's a man card deduction right there. All right. The quote is this. The man on top of the mountain didn't fall there. Purity is a journey. Now, Let me give you a little visual here. All right, here we go. This is glass cleaner. This is a mirror. A very dirty mirror from my bathroom because you girls, you know how it is. You get hairspray on stuff and it's just like, icky. Hey, see yourself? Say hi. So let's talk about the difference between purity and righteousness. Righteousness, that's a big word. Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. Let me give you the example. This is you. It's dirty. It's very messy. I know you can see it, but I see a big haze. It's hard to see. When I, as the holder of your life, God, when I look at you, it's hard for me to see me because it's just dirty. It's filthy. So what I need to do as an individual is to realize I need the blood of Jesus applied to my life. Squish, squish, right? There we go. So what happens when you and I realize we're sinners, we need a Savior, we apply the blood of Jesus, and God cleans us up. We're made righteousness. Now, I can see myself very well in this mirror. The reason that God wants you to be clean is because He wants Himself to be seen in you. Because the blood of Jesus is there. I can, as God, see myself in my servant. But around the corner, around the edges, it's still dirty. There's a little bit of haze. There's a little bit of, I do not know what that little speck is. So what happens after that moment, God can see Himself in you once you become born again. But there's still some dirty stuff we got to clean off here. And that's where purity comes into play. Purity is a consistent journey of letting the Holy Spirit, of letting the Word of God, of letting others around you make you cleaner, to make your heart full of integrity, to make your mind sound with positive and encouraging scriptural stuff, to make your life not only in right standing with God, but pure to God. Because who can ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who can stand in His holy place? He with clean hands and a pure heart, who lifts not his soul into vanity. Purity is more than just an outward appearance of doing things. If you look at the scriptures in like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in John, where you see Jesus and Jesus's encounters with the religious people of His day, those religious people who we call Pharisees, Sadducees, those guys, they did all the stuff right on the outside. But on the inside, Jesus just called them out like they are. You whitewashed tombs. He saw their heart. He saw their motives. And He told them they really need to change. But they were so hard that they couldn't. Purity is internal, not always external. It's about our heart, our mind, our motives, and our selfish desires. You see, sometimes we can hide the dirty stuff for a little while, but you've heard it said, what's on the inside, it's going to come out eventually, right? It's like this. In our heart, it's almost like it's a cave. When Jesus comes in, the light comes in. There's caves and there's a light. But there's like smaller outlets to these caves. There's the big cave and then there's little outlets. And in those little outlets, it's still dark. The Holy Spirit has to go with His little flashlight and He has to search those deep crevices of your heart. And oftentimes He finds stuff that needs to be removed. It doesn't have to be sin. It doesn't have to be dirty. Sometimes it's hurt, sometimes it's wounds, sometimes it is sin, sometimes it's our stubborn nature. But the Holy Spirit will partner with you and I to make us more like Him. The caves of our heart have to be illuminated with Jesus and the light. Look at these two scriptures. Psalm 139 says this, "Search me, O God, try me, and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way, forgive me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's the David Goss translation. I'm sorry, that says something different. Look at what 1 John 1:7 says. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the what? Blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Some of us need to ask Holy Spirit today to examine our hearts, to examine our lives. We need to ask him to take his holy flashlight and search inside of us. And here's the way it works. Let's just get practical for a minute. When you allow the Holy Spirit to search you, it often comes about when you get a thought of something, a memory. Huh, I forgot about that. And it's something that was of the past. It's something that you know that it's hindering you from your freedom, maybe in your relationships. It often comes with a thought or a feeling. When you sense that, be aware and acknowledge in that moment, okay, Holy Spirit, I wanted to do that to that person. I wanted to say that, but I won't, but I need your help. When the Holy Spirit reminds you of stuff, be aware, because he wants to make you more pure. God wants this house filled with prayer, praise, and purity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again. You are so good. You are always here, Lord. Thank you that you can just communicate with us in our heart and our spirit, and that you want us to be more like you. You're even inviting us up to your holy mountain, God, to spend time with you. So Jesus, I pray today that our houses will be filled with prayer, that our houses will be filled with praise, that our houses will be filled with purity that only the Holy Spirit can give. Lord, we just thank you so much. Would you just close your eyes? Will you bow your heads if they're not already? Today, if you need Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, or if you did that during our praise time today, I want you to make sure you come up here and you talk to one of these people who are at the prayer team, the Gosses, the Workmen's, the Schraders, myself. Talk to us, because we want to help you begin this process of discipleship. We want to help you along with that. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'll bless your people today. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them with your presence. I pray that this will be a very special week for them, God, that they will walk with a full house mentality. Amen.